Good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta. Hi. An Italian scientist says that he's reproduced the Shroud of Turin. Well, I've heard this story before, so let's find out what this particular incarnation of the story is. It's a feat that he says proves definitively that the linen some Christians revere as Christ's burial cloth is a medieval fake. We have shown that it is possible to reproduce something which has the same characteristics as the shroud. This is according to Luigi Garlicelli. He is professor of organic chemistry at the University of Pavia. And he's made available to Reuters the paper he will deliver and the accompanying comparative photographs. Joining right now to talk about this most recent attempt to debunk the shroud and exactly how compelling this reproduction is Russ Briel, president and founder of the Shroud of Turin Education Project. He's been researching and lecturing on the shroud for well over 20 years. He's participated in nearly every international research symposium since the first Shroud of Turin Research Project conference in 1981. And Russ, it's good to have you back.
Thanks. It's great to be with you again.
Well, it seems to be every few years there's a story like this, and I'm all for as much investigation as possible. This Italian scientist, Luigi Garlicelli, professor of organic chemistry, does he have something new to offer us here?
Well, not as far as I can tell. I've seen the images online. He's created an image that looks shroud-like, and no one's really going to know until we can get hands-on with the cloth and really do some microscopic analysis and put it under the same battery of tests that we did with the shroud, because you can create something that certainly looks shroud-like, but that doesn't mean that it certainly is matches up with all of the criteria that we know exist with the shroud.
How many serious attempts, assuming that this is a serious attempt, I'm assuming that it is, how many serious attempts to reproduce the shroud do you think have been made in the last 20 years?
Oh, numerous, at least 10.
Yeah.
And each one has some shroud-like elements to it, and
sure,
each one seems to fall short under close scrutiny. The most significant feature of the shroud is that the image is purely superficial, and so just looking at a photograph, I can't tell whether his image penetrates only the top two microfibers the way the shroud does, or does it penetrate deeper into the cloth?
Right.
Because he used some kind of ochre pigment, covered a body with all this pigment, wrapped the shroud in it, and the pigment got on the shroud, got on his cloth, and then he baked it in an oven for a few hours, and then proceeded to wash it, and presto, there was an image, and it's. At first glance, sure, it looks shroud-like. But, one of the real compelling things about the Shroud of Turin is with the pattern of blood stains. And with the shroud, you have the situation where the blood got on the shroud first, followed by the image. Now, in this copy, he admits that he painted his image or created his image and then applied the blood where the blood seemingly needed to go.
Hmm.
But that's not how the shroud was made. The shroud image was the blood first, followed by the image, which is, logical if the shroud is authentic, but, quite a challenge if it's the work of an artist.
Right.
And plus, the blood that we see on the shroud is not whole blood that was just painted on there. It is literally, according to the blood chemist, the exudate from actual wounds. We don't see whole blood. We see blood components. We see bile, bilirubin, heme, serum albumin, but we don't see whole blood. And so the blood chemistry is very specific and seems to correlate very well with a man who appears to have died from those wounds.
Yeah. So it sounds as though you're not expecting too much from this particular effort to debunk.
No, because they've all come up short. I mean, this is just the soup du jour. I think it's fine. I think it's interesting that the guy was funded by the Italian Association of Atheists and Agnostics. So, certainly he obviously has some kind of an agenda there. And the Catholic Church is planning to have a major exhibition next April and May. So to me, I think the whole timing of this thing is obviously timed to somehow impact that exhibition.
Oh my. You mean there's the Italian Association of Atheists and Agnostics know how to read a calendar, and it is interesting that they would have thought this would be a project worthy of funding. The shroud has features which haven't yet been duplicated. You mentioned one of them being the superficial image, that the image itself rests very superficially on the fabric. Has that ever been reproduced?
Not to my knowledge, because what we have with the shroud is simply a discoloration of a carbohydrate layer that resides on all the surface of the threads and fibers. The area of the cloth, the amount of the cloth that is discolored, is less than the diameter of a bacteria. I mean, you could take a razor blade and shave the surface of the cloth and the image would disappear. Every other attempt that I'm aware of penetrates far deeper into the cloth than what we see on the shroud. And that's why we need to get hands-on with this thing and see it may look like a shroud from a photograph from 10 feet away, but what does it look like under the microscope?
Any paint, pigment would certainly soak deeper.
Yes. And there's no evidence of that on the shroud. There's no evidence of any kind of liquids applied to the shroud. There's no evidence of any kind of pigment applied to it. He states that he in the washing of the linen, it washed away all of the pigment, but it left some kind of this kind of stain, if you will. But again, you know, that's from 10 feet away, sure, let's get with a microscope. And plus the image has to be a negative image, a distance information encoded into it. You know, there's all several different nuances that he's going to have to really match up. And he's already failed on one, and that is the blood, because the blood is a major part of what we see on the shroud.
And it has to precede the image of the body.
Yes, absolutely.
How did you get involved in, you've been doing this now, since 1981 you attended the first Shroud of Turin research project, sort of looking at, 27, 28 years.
Yeah.
My guess is that, when you first attended that conference, you did not envision 28 years later you'd be an international expert.
No, not at all. It's I got involved in 1980, just a year before, when I wrote some articles for a college newspaper, and I was in school, and this was big news back then. National Geographic came out with a big spread in June of 1980. So when I did my articles after I did the research for it, I was just hooked, and I came away with two conclusions, and that is the shroud is a phenomenal witness for Christ, and nobody knows anything about it. And so I just took it from there, and it just kind of sprung on its own and took wings, shall we say.
Now, what do you make of the carbon-14 dating, which years ago was performed and which dated the shroud to, I think, the 13th century?
1260 to 1390 is the date, right?
Okay.
I think we kind of solved that in 2005. We were able to finally prove that what they cut, because they were supposed to cut multiple samples from different locations on the shroud. And instead, they cut one sample from the outside corner edge, exactly where it had been held and handled hundreds of times over the centuries. And so, this would be the corner that you would absolutely avoid if you were going to try to, if you were going to limit the shroud to just one sample. And of course, that was a sample they picked. And so we always suspected that there was some anomaly with that corner. But finally, Ray Rogers, the thermal chemist, was able to obtain thread samples from that corner and compare them with thread samples from the main body of the shroud, and lo and behold, they're not the same. And so what we have in that corner is the presence of cotton. There's no cotton anywhere else on the shroud. The shroud is made out of flax. And there's the presence of dye, there's the presence of starch, and all these would be components that would be used in what's called French invisible mending. And I know it sounds crazy, but I have a book called The Art of French Invisible Weaving or Mending, and and it's and you have to get a magnifying glass and you really get down there to really see where, you know, how they might have repaired that. And so it appears that they were just fooled. They, you know, it looked like the shroud, but it wasn't the shroud. And now that we've and that was actually published in a peer-reviewed scientific journal in January of 2005.
Okay.
And so all we know about carbon dating at this point is that, not that carbon dating itself is a bad procedure, I mean, they use it all the time, but you have to have a good sample. And when they limited it to just one sample, then there's no other basis to compare it at. So if you have a bad sample, how are you going to know?
I just don't know how they could have made that kind of mistake. I mean, they had to know this was going to be an exceptionally important finding. So how would they, instead of three samples, end up with one sample, and that one sample taken from a part of the shroud which had been corrupted or polluted in some significant way over the years? I you know what I'm saying? With all the effort and all the intelligence, how could they screw it up so?
I think it came down to aesthetics as opposed to science. Is that when they got in there and they looked at it, they got, I think, the scientific advisor to the church, Luigi Ganella, I think he got pretty nervous, and this is a holy relic, and we don't want to do anything that would, you know, that would in any way, you know, mar this or deface it in any way. So I think he just said, no, we're going to cut one sample from this outside corner edge adjacent to where it had been cut in 1973 for textile analysis. So you see, it had already been cut once in that corner, so they just decided to make just a larger cut. And so that way it wouldn't alter the appearance of the shroud. And so it all came down to aesthetics. So, you know, which is, of course, not a good rationality when you have the single largest carbon dating event of the 20th century hangs now on this one sample.
And you would, again, assume that somebody would have anticipated this objection before everybody's lined up with the scissors.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, logic would have said, let's take at least one other sample from another location on the shroud. But even that wasn't done.
Our number is 1-877-573-7825. That's 1-877-573-7825. Let's go to the state of Maryland and pick up Bob, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. You're up, Bob.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I just had a comment or a question, really. Even assuming that somebody could produce something that satisfied all the criteria you're talking about, including the blood, et cetera, let's assume for the sake of argument that that is done someday. I don't necessarily understand how that proves that the shroud itself isn't genuine. I mean, I'm sure some really good artist could reproduce the Mona Lisa. That doesn't mean Leonardo didn't paint the original. I'm just wondering what a scientist would say to that.
Well, I my first response would be, I think it would reduce, one of the things about the shroud is its uniqueness. And if one could reproduce it, it would cease to have the claim of uniqueness, which I think would diminish its appeal. But go ahead, Russ.
Well, I think that is an excellent comment, actually, because we can create something that looks like the shroud, and we can do all this kind of 21st century reverse engineering using technology to kind of figure out how to make the shroud image. That doesn't mean that you know, just because if we were able to mimic all of the aspects of the shroud, that in no way means, proves in any way that it was, that is therefore a 13th century, you know, forgery. It just means that we figured out how to replicate the shroud.
I suppose we'd have to wait until when and if that happens, but I think there are also pretty good chances that if we did that, we probably would be using some parts of the technology that wasn't around in the 13th century.
Yeah, I mean, the key, you'd want to reproduce. If this were to be a compelling reproduction, it would have to be a reproduction using the technology and the weaving techniques and, of the 13th, 14th century.
Yeah. Anyway, I'll hang up and listen to this fascinating thing. Thank you.
Russ, what do you think is the most compelling evidence for the authenticity of the shroud?
Your show's not long enough. You mentioned textiles. I mean, start right there. Start with the cloth itself. Everything about the manufacture of the shroud indicates that this is an ancient linen. It's not produced. It's not manufactured in the Middle Ages.
Yeah.
We can tell by the fact that the threads are hand spun, the way that there's banding, the way that the flax linen was pieced together in narrow bands. That's how it was done prior to the 5th century. And so, just things like that would indicate that this cloth goes way back to antiquity. Things that we now have clearly linked the shroud to what disappeared in 1204 in Constantinople. So we have a clear historical trail all the way back to the 6th century. We've linked it to the sudarium of Oviedo, which is the face cloth that was wrapped around Jesus' head and is talked about in John's Gospel. That has a documented history all the way back to the 7th century, and there's a clear linkage between the shroud and the sudarium of Oviedo. So there's a lot of stuff here that would indicate that this shroud predates the Middle Ages significantly.
Hmm. So you've got the textile evidence, you've got chain of custody over history, you've got other items that can be paralleled to the shroud. What about things like pollen?
Pollen's a great example. I mean, the leading botanist in Israel, Avinoam Danin, he's with the Hebrew University. He's written 7 books on the flora of Palestine. He'll tell you flat out that the pollen removed from the shroud, as well as off-body flower images, he'll tell you that shroud was in Israel at some time in its history.
Hmm. Russ, how do people get in touch with you? Oops, we'll have to give you that website.